The Sosk Disaster, by Hot Dog Legs. Image. The Sosk Memorial. I do like a good submarine story or film or anything to do with submarines. Their menace and stealth has always fascinated me from a child, and since have held utter respect for the crews on board these monsters of the deep, whose lives can be snuffed out in an instant. I have watched most of the decent films as most have. Das Boot, We Dive at Dawn, Red October Wrecked, and lots of good documentaries about them which you can find on YouTube. A good one is about this particular story, Raising the Sosk, which exploded beneath the icy inky black waters of the Barents Sea. There have been many incidents and disasters involving submarines over the decades, none more poignant and tragic than the Sosk story. All of these incidents are always shrouded in mystery and intrigue, so you are never sure of what actually happened, so make your own minds up. To me, it was just a tragic accident arising from a badly maintained ship, along with the aging Baltic fleet which caused the disaster. A ship in troubled waters. The Sosk submarine disaster was the largest naval tragedy ever to happen in the Russian Federation during peacetime. The country had been experiencing a lot of political turmoil in the 90s following the collapse of the Soviet Union, and it now entered the new millennium rather tragically. The Oscar-class, nuclear-powered submarine Sosk, K-141, named after the location of the famous World War II tank battle, sank on 12 August 2000, in the Barents Sea in northern Russia, claiming the lives of 118 men. The entire crew of the Sosk died on the bottom of the sea, mostly due to the lack of safety measures aboard and the utter lack of preparation for emergency situations by the authorities. The disaster occurred during a large naval exercise conducted by the Russian Navy. It was the first major exercise in 10 years and an opportunity to prove that the successor of the Soviet Army is capable of responding to potential threats. The exercise included 30 ships and 3 submarines. Although it is not usual for submarines to carry combat weapons during such training, Sosk was armed with 18 anti-ship torpedoes and 22 cruise missiles. The sailors aboard the Sosk were recognized as the best crew of the North Fleet for their conduct just before the accident. The submarine itself was considered unsinkable and capable of withstanding a direct torpedo hit. It was claimed that Sosk was capable of confronting entire formations of U.S. aircraft carriers. Apparently, one of the torpedoes aboard the Sosk was damaged during transport and it was leaking fuel. It is possible that the damage occurred during transport, as several sources later claimed that they witnessed when the torpedo was dropped on the ground. Nevertheless, it was loaded on the submarine. This particular torpedo wasn't armed with warheads and the inspection gave it little attention, but noticed the leakage. The officers neglected the malfunction, for the exercise was a top priority, and it had to be conducted on schedule. The military high command had long before been involved in corruption scandals, often neglecting the malfunctioning equipment in the Russian army. The fate of the sailors was thus sealed. The fuel leakage led to the initial explosion. 2 minutes and 14 seconds after the first explosion in the torpedo compartment, the fire it triggered set off a second explosion of 5 to 7 combat-ready torpedo warheads. The seismic readings of the explosions were first caught by a Norwegian seismic array at 11:29 hours on Saturday, 12 August 2000. The Russian command lost contact with the Sosk after the explosions took place, but didn't even acknowledge that the submarine suffered an accident for 6 hours. After it became obvious that something was wrong, a rescue operation was organized, failing to locate the submarine during the first day. Image. The Sosk at dock. Image. Letter recovered from the body of Captain Lieutenant Dmitry Kolesnikov. Above, a letter recovered from the body of Captain Lieutenant Dmitry Kolesnikov, who was found in the black inky waters of the 9th compartment. The 12th of August 2015. 15. It is dark to write, but I will try by feel. It seems there is no chance, 10 to 20%. Let's hope someone will read this. Here is a list of the personnel of the sections who are in the 9th section, and we'll try to get out. Hello to everyone, there is no need for despair, Kolesnikov. The Kursk was slowly turning into an international scandal. Since the Norwegians picked up the readings that clearly indicated that an underwater explosion took place in the Barents Sea, the British government, along with the USA, Norway, Israel, France, Germany, and Italy, offered help. The Russians dismissed the offer, claiming that a rescue operation was well underway and that everything was under control. Somebody within the government made claims that the Kursk was badly damaged due to a collision with a NATO submarine, which turned out to be a complete act of paranoia. Nevertheless, this claim fueled the Russian stand to refuse any foreign assistance. On Monday, 14th of August, an official statement was given. The Navy told the press that the submarine had descended to the ocean floor, that they had established contact with the crew, were pumping air and power to the ship, and that everyone on board is alive. President Putin met with relatives of the dead sailors in Vyjayevo in a contentious meeting, during which the families complained about the Russian Navy's response to the disaster. The pressure was rising, as the Russian government continued to mislead the public. 4 days after the accident, some of the Navy officials claimed that the Kursk was damaged after it hit an old underwater mine that dated from the World War II era. The public was furious. Family members of the crew protested, asking for additional information, as they were given next to none. Some of the family members weren't notified by the authorities at all and learned everything about their husbands, sons and brothers' fate through the newspapers. Meanwhile, all rescue attempts failed due to bad weather conditions and inappropriate equipment. British and Norwegian divers finally gained authorization to help with the rescue mission, but were given many restrictions. The Russians still feared to let the foreigners go near the submarine. They were extremely cautious concerning the Kursk, for it represented the pinnacle of Soviet engineering. After the international team had inspected the wreck, they learned of the first casualties. The explosions killed most of the men aboard, but 23 sailors survived. Due to the slow reaction by the authorities, the men slowly suffocated as the oxygen reserves were depleted. It was time to come out with the truth. On August 21, the Chief of Staff of the Russian Northern Fleet, Mikhail Motsak, announced to the public that the Kursk had flooded, and the crew was dead. The next day, President Putin met with the families of the dead sailors and officers. The Russian government committed to raising the wreck in a US$65 million salvage operation. They contracted with the Dutch marine salvage companies Smit International and Mamoet to raise the Kursk from the sea floor. It became the largest salvage operation of its type ever accomplished. On the 8th of October 2001, 14 months after the disaster, and only 5 months after the contract had been awarded to them, the salvage team raised the remainder of the ship in a 15-hour operation. Once the sub was raised and joined to the barge, it was carried back under the barge to the Russian Navy's Rosliakovo shipyard in Murmansk. Image. The wreck of the Kursk 1. Image. The wreck of the Kursk 2. In Murmansk, the Kursk was moved into a dry dock, then the hull of the ship was gradually opened, and the bodies of all but three of the 118 personnel on board were recovered. The last three were so badly destroyed by the blast and fire that their bodies could not be identified or recovered. Copyright Legs 2018.